Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Rich Urban Show. I am your host, Richard Urban, coming from historic Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. We bring you news and views from the inpatient principal point of view. Today's show is on absolute sexual ethics is the cultural battle line. They start with a reading from scripture. These scriptures are from the Daily Inspiration. Men and women should live intoxicated by conjugal love. This is the October 6th edition. They're from the Chun Sung Young, selections from the speeches of Reverend Sum Myung Moon. Section 4, The Secret of Entering Heaven. 4.5, Conjugal Love is the central flower of the ideal of love. All the harmonies and phenomena of this world that come out of love are as a fragrance to God. God wants to live within this beautiful fragrance, and so he is seeking it. God's love descends to the place of sexual relationship between husband and wife. This is where all creation in the universe are harmonized. If you think about a royal palace of love, there's a royal palace in the spirit world and a royal palace on the earth. Where do these palaces make contact? That is a question. In other words, where do human beings and God meet? The sexual organs that bring the unity of true love are the original land. Since this is the original land in terms of palaces, it becomes the original palace. This is the palace God initiates and is the first thing he initiates. It is the original palace. After happily living together with your spouse, what will you think about when you pass away? You will always think about the love organ. You'll remember your spouse's face and kiss. The only memories that remain after going to the spirit world are the ones about the union of the love organs. When the husband and wife kissed and made love. Would you want to pass away holding and kissing the love organ? And that is the reading. As I said, today's topic is absolute sexual ethics is the cultural battle line. So we've had a really difficult September. Now it's October. We saw the assassination of our dear friend Charlie Kirk. And a lot of other things are going on in this battle. But I'd like to point out and really bring to clarity that the real battle at its core is one of sexual ethics. That means the ethics of a man and a woman centered around marriage, family, all the things that if you're reading the Daily Inspiration, you know, Reverend Sum Myung Moon is talking about on a daily basis. And we see even this is interconnected with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. What happened, we find out that the person who assassinated Charlie Kirk was in a so-called furries group, which is basically a sexual fetish type of group to a large extent. And we find out that among the furries, that something like 85% identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. And in fact, we find that that person identified as transgender and was living with his confused transgender boyfriend. So is it any surprise that this is mixed in with violence? What was the original violence? Well, if you're reading the Daily Inspiration, we know the original violence was the rape of Eve, that the original fall of man involved sexual violence or going against the order of God, which is that sex is the most holy and most precious thing, as I just read, the royal palace, and it was violated in the worst way by the devil Satan. And if you study the unification principle, which you can do at our website, visionroot.org, you will understand exactly what I mean. So when you get these strange subcultures, like people dressing as animals, and then, you know, what animals even in their sexual culture, like, it's not like human culture where it's for love. So even there is something there. So these things intersect. And if you think about the violent attacks, like on the school in Tennessee, like a large number of those ideologically driven attacks, the majority of them were people who were transgender, who are mentally ill, they're sexually confused, and perpetrating violence. And it's not surprising, it's tragic, because these things are all connected together, because the original violence was sexual violence. And it's an act against the very will of God to make, you know, the world beautiful and loving, centered on families. So I would like to report an experience that when our program, and I've been working in the sexual abstinence education field, marriage education, for more than two, coming to three decades. So I remember during our time in Washington, D.C., where we worked for almost two decades on this issue and founded Urban Life Training, nonprofit, which is short name of ULTRA, Urban Life Training Reality Assessment Teen Choice. Then one time we had one of our star guides, as students teaching abstinence responsibility, they made an image of a diamond, guard your diamond. And that was, featured on our website. So some homosexual discussion group blog, you know, picked up on that. Because one day I was checking the web statistics and they're like, 2,000 people had visited. I said, whoa, what are they visiting? Well, they just thought it was really just a really funny, or in a sick way funny, that, you know, we were promoting, you know, the sexual abstinence and the guarded diamond. Because in that kind of culture, the sex is like you put a thing in a hole. That's about what it amounts to. Put a thing in a hole. It's not a holy act. It's something that can even be violent or sick or whatever you want to call it. It's not a godly act. And that's the real difference between God-centered sexuality and this kind of debased sexuality. So that really is a dividing line. So we held over from 2021 to 2024, Urban Life Training held eight workshops. And the first one was called Dividing Line, Ending the Culture That Causes Sexual Abuse. So another experience I want to share is at our club at Duke Ellington School of the Arts in Washington, D.C. If you look on our website, Urban Life Training, you'll see a picture of the club members there. Then on the banner, well, while we were outside taking that picture, about 15 young women marched in. They were part of the feminist club, so-called, at Duke Ellington. So we come back inside into the classroom where we're meeting, and here are these 15 girls sitting around. It's like, hey, what's going on? And so what they were there to do is object that we were promoting, and the students were putting up little mini posters for Abstinence Awareness Week, saying things like, you know, to guard your diamond, to a safe sex for marriage, that most teenagers are sexually abstinent, things like that. And so they were saying, some of the girls were saying, well, we were sexually abused, and, you know, you're saying that we should, you know, be celebrating Abstinence Awareness Week, but we lost our virginity through no fault of our own. So, of course, that's a terrible thing, through sexual abuse. So you'd think there would be a nexus where these girls, these young women, would want to work towards sexual abstinence, but no, they were offended by it. So, I mean, to me, that's kind of like, what do they call the Stockholm syndrome? Like, so if you experience sexual abuse, then do you celebrate that have your psyche damaged, or do you work against it? So I think it's really something that needs to be looked into further. That no, people didn't just decide they wanted to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender with no impetus, but many times to a higher extent, like statistics show that for adults, 50% of adult women identifying as like lesbian, gay, bisexual say they've had sexual abuse as an adult, and 20% or more than that say they've had sexual abuse as a child, which is a higher percentage than normal, maybe about twice as high as normal, if you can believe that 10% of people say they've been sexually abused, which is terrible. So we should be working against sexual abuse, not celebrating that people were damaged or now they feel that they're lesbian or bisexual. And also, we should be against the recruitment that's going on through now. All this is accelerated by social media, constantly accelerating this degeneration by saying it's good or it's natural or it's a normal process, when the fact is, if most young people don't act on those urges, they'll grow out of it. Like the people who are prominent in the detransition movement, like Chloe Cole, well, no one explained to them or her or her parents that, hey, most likely if you just leave this alone, you know, your child, you will grow out of this. No, instead they want to chop off the breast or give permanent life-changing hormones. This is completely sick. So, yeah, so the idea that nastiness in general and even the very terrible assassination of Charlie Kirk, that came from someone who's deranged. Yeah, they're deranged. If they're living with a man who thinks he's a woman or something like that, they're deranged. That's not normal. And until probably, 10 years ago, no one would even have entertained that that was something that should be happening. If they're doing honest scientific research, not going by like the John Money, the guy who accidentally... what did he do? Burn off the boy's penis and then said, oh, let's dress him as a girl. And this became the base of transgender movement. It's insane. And it's not just insane, it's evil. So it does go back to a type of crassness and nastiness around sexuality. And it's not just crassness and nastiness. It goes back to the original act that was the very act that destroyed God's creation. The fall of man, and I think that's what we all need to know as Christians. The fall of man destroyed God's creation, so it's not just something that's nasty or crass or whatever. It's harmful to God's very ideal. So to conclude, I do want to point this out, that absolute sexual ethics is the cultural battle line. It's not just a cultural battle line, it's the cultural battle line, and it's something we have to answer to. So now, if you're hearing this, you're being exposed to the idea that there is a unification principle. And if you haven't studied it, you need to study. It's not just like, oh, well, that's nice, next. No, you need to decide, because there is a cultural battle line. You need to decide and study and choose if you're on the side of, you know, what God has ordained, like explain the unification principle, or you're not. And then you also need to recognize the messenger is bringing it, that would be Reverend Samuel Moon, and teaching us about how to be true people, and that's something that to embrace and to receive these words and to study and also receive the marriage blessing. And we have a site now, unionstation.love, where you can study and receive the blessing. So I hope you've enjoyed this message today and that you will become involved in this battle in the sense of understanding the unification principle and also receiving the blessing, because the kingdom of heaven starts with you and me. It's not political. It's not something that's just going to drop out of the sky. We're not going to be raptured into heaven. We have to build the kingdom here on earth, and the key cultural battle is one of sexual ethics, or as Reverend Moon states, absolute sexual ethics, meaning the absolute unity of husband and wife, absolutely keeping sexual purity before marriage, maintaining it within marriage. This is the cultural battle line, and it's behind all the other battles in society today. So I hope you've enjoyed this show. Do you like to share? I'm your host, Richard Irby, coming to you from historic Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. Do be blessed. And do visit visionroot.org, and you can sign up for the Daily Inspiration, and also unionstation.love. You can sign up for a class there to receive the blessing and find out about what it is. So we'll see you next time. Goodbye for now.